Right, explain to me why we are putting balances in a second database.
Because the balance we serve today is a running total that nobody can check.
It is a number, it is correct. Users load a wallet and see what it holds.
Tell me how that number gets there.
The accounting stage reads a block range, sums the transfers, and writes them into the chain's balances table. One row per address and token.
Writes them how exactly?
Insert on conflict do update, set value equals value plus the new value.
So the row is a counter. You add to it. You never keep what you added.
Why would I keep it? I have the transfers. They are in the same database.
Then reconstruct last March's portfolio for me, from the transfers, right now. You would have to replay every transfer for that address from Genesis, in Postgres, while it is serving traffic.
Fine, that is what the historical balance table is for.
Go and grep for it.
Address historical balance, migration 105, a portfolio blob per address per day.
And how many places in the codebase, read it or write it?
None.
None. It has existed for years and nothing has ever touched it.
That is embarrassing, but it is not an argument for a new database. Somebody should just fill it in.
With what? You do not have the history. That is the whole point. The history was never written down.
The balance drifts too, doesn't it? That is why there is a last node update column.
That is the part I would lead with, honestly. When the counter goes wrong, we overwrite it from the node and stamp the block we did it at.
Which is fine.
It is fine for the number. It is terrible for the truth. You have just erased the evidence of whatever went wrong, and you cannot tell afterwards which balances were computed and which were patched.
All right, so what is Starox, before you tell me it fixes this?
Columnar Analytics Database. Speaks the MySQL wire protocol, so you connect to it with a MySQL client.
So it's ClickHouse.
Close enough for the first sentence. The difference is the table type we use, which they call a primary key table.
Meaning what?
Meaning it takes real updates and real deletes on a primary key, at ingest speed, and still answers analytical queries. Most columnar stores are append-only and make you merge on read.
And that matters because?
Because we need a present balance table that changes every block, sitting next to a fact table that never changes in the same store.
You could do that with two systems.
Not atomically, and that is the feature the entire design hangs off.
Go on.
Starox has a transactional load protocol. You open a labeled transaction over HTTP, push payloads for several different tables under that one label, and commit them together.
Several tables in one transaction.
Facts, the recomputed present state, and the ingestion cursor. One commit. So the cursor can never say it consumed a block whose rows are not visible.
That is genuinely nice. I will give you that one.
It is the only reason this shape is possible. Take it away, and you are back to hoping two writes both landed.
So what are the tables?
Three that matter. Balance delta block is append only. One row per address, token, and block where the balance moved, with the amount and the block hash that caused it.
That is the ledger.
That is the ledger. Then balance day, which is the closing balance for each key at the end of each UTC day. Immutable. Written once by whoever owns that day.
Every key, every day, that is enormous.
No, a row exists only where the day's ending balance differs from the day before. A wallet that sat still for 2 years has two rows.
And the current balance?
Balance current. And that one is derived. It is not a number somebody maintains. It is replay of the day row anchor plus every fact after the day watermark.
So if it is wrong?
It heals the next time that key is touched, because the recompute never reads the current row as an input.
And that is the opposite of the Postgres one, where wrong is permanent until a human notices.
until a node reconciliation notices, which is a human noticing, dressed up.
Let me push on the keys, because that looked expensive. You are storing the full hex address in the primary key.
66 characters for the address, 66 for the token, on every fact row.
Every fact row also carries a block hash. That is a lot of hex.
It is, and the compression eats it. Sorted repeated hex under ZSTD is almost free.
Almost free is doing work in that sentence.
It is, but look at what surrogate identifiers would have cost. They get assigned in arrival order.
So
re-export the same blocks into a fresh copy, and every identifier is different. You could not compare two builds byte for byte anymore. You would need joins on dimension tables to compare anything at all.
And you compare builds a lot.
That is the operating model, yes. I will come back to that.
There is a limit on those keys, though, isn't there?
128 bytes of encoded primary key, enforced at load time rather than at create table, which we found the hard way.
Meaning it accepted the schema and then refused the data.
Correct. Everything is sized against what actually loads. There is a staging table for the cutover that prefixes an attempt identifier, and a 33-character identifier loads, while a 37-character one fails.
Which is the difference between the word hyperevm and the word arbitrum 1?
Which is exactly why the chain name is not in it. The table's viability should not depend on how long a chain is called.
Okay, who writes all this?
Two runtimes, one extractor. There is a finite exporter that replays canonical blocks out of the archive bucket in GCS from block zero.
And live?
The live one runs inside Chainiddle as its own job. It reads the raw block Q the streaming stage writes.
Not the processed tables.
Not the processed tables, and it never waits for them. Raw blocks in, facts out. Both paths call the same function, extract balance block, so history and live cannot disagree about what a block means.
What stops the day from closing early?
The queue's own committed frontier. The producer publishes how far it is willing to call final, and a day only freezes when that frontier is past the end of the day.
Why not just wait a few hours past midnight?
Because that was the first design, and it is wrong in the direction that matters. If a chain's finality stalls, the clock still fires, and you freeze a day onto blocks that can still reorg.
And the day rows are immutable, so you have just written a permanent lie.
Permanently and confidently.
Right, but now tell me about fixing an extraction bug, because immutable is lovely until you are wrong.
You rebuild. Extraction semantics belong to the deployed image, not to a version column in the data.
Rebuild what, exactly?
The whole generation. Fresh database, export the archive again, rebuild the day rows, hand off from the queue, catch up live, validate it, then switch serving.
You rerun the entire chain from Genesis to fix one token's arithmetic.
Yes.
That is insane.
What is the alternative you are proposing?
Update the affected rows. It is a database.
Update which rows? You would need to know exactly which facts the bug touched, in every day row that folded them, in every current balance downstream. And then you have data that no single code version produced.
I would test the fix.
Against what? The thing you would be testing against is the data you just decided was wrong.
Fine, but you are only able to say that because the archive exists.
Completely true. This design is only affordable because someone already built an immutable canonical block archive. Without it, rebuild is not a strategy, it is a fantasy.
Good, then let me have the other side, because I have been polite for 10 minutes.
Go on.
How many chains are enabled?
2, HyperEVM and Ethereum.
Out of how many do we run?
You know how many we run.
I do, next one, How many places in the AP I read Starox?
None.
None, so the number every user sees today still comes from the Postgres counter. You have spent this entire conversation calling unauditable.
Yes.
There is a rule in the architecture that red paths must only expose positive balances, because bad contracts emit transfers from addresses that never held anything.
There is.
And that filter is written where?
It is not. It is owed by the first serving consumer, which does not exist.
So a rule that lives in a document.
A rule that lives in a document.
Ethereum from Genesis, you told me extraction is complete.
In the code, it is. Genesis allocations, the mining rewards by era, the DAO fork adjustment bound to that block's hash.
And if I run it today?
It stops at the first pre-merge block that has uncles, because nothing writes the uncle bodies into the archive envelope yet, and it will not pay a reward it cannot read.
So Ethereum from Genesis does not currently run?
Ethereum from Genesis does not currently run.
And the live coordinator, is it deployed?
There is no production deployment for it. There is one ad hoc job manifest for the HyperEVM export.
So the honest state is, about 22,000 lines of very careful pipeline, two chains, no deployment, and nothing on earth reads it.
That is the honest state.
Then answer the actual question, what does it improve today?
Today, nothing. That is the fair answer, and I am not going to dress it up.
And when it lands?
When it lands, a balance stops being a number and becomes a position with a date on it. You can ask what an address held last March and get an answer that came from blocks, not from a blob somebody remembered to write.
And the 4,000-line accounting file in Postgres?
Still there, still serving. Nothing in this plan deletes it, and I would not trust a plan that claimed it did.
Then my position is unchanged. The design is right, and the project is not finished, and those are separate things.
I will take that. It is a better summary than mine.